Well, we thought we'd do something different today and not have the word love in our message title. Maybe the first time all year, I think, that it's not in the title. So, but it doesn't mean it's not in the message. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 3. And you know, Genesis starts off with the account of the creation of the world. God planted a garden, made all kind of trees to grow out of the ground, many that bore fruit, decorated the garden with flowers, put fish in the streams, birds in the sky. The garden was the perfect home created by God for his creation, Adam and Eve. And we talk about this, and I know a lot, even believers don't necessarily believe this, but God made the whole earth for man. Made the whole earth so he could be with his man. And I'm talking about men, men and women. And God had a strong desire to be with them. So keep that in mind as we read Genesis 3, verse 8. This is after Adam and Eve sinned. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" So first of all, I love the fact that God's in the garden and he's looking for his creation. We talk about God pursuing people, God going after people. Well, here he is in the garden. He's looking for his creation. They had sinned, and so they hid themselves from him, but God couldn't be denied. He's going to find them. And so he calls out, "Where are you?" Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God didn't know where they were? So maybe the question that he was really asking is, "Where are you in relation to me?" And this is so simple, but I mean, it's a good revelation. With, I sound like I'm dealing with first graders. With God, good. Without God, bad. In God's presence, good. Separated from God, bad. And a lot of bad things happened after that separation from God. And so the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's so many stories of God being with people. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. God was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now look what it says in Genesis 39. Anybody like the story about Joseph? Love reading about him. From the pit to the palace, you know that story? Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was, and remember, God with you, it's good, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And we need to realize, too, that God is with us not only during the good times. God was with Joseph in the pit. God was with Joseph in slavery. God was with Joseph when he was in the prison. And God was with Joseph when he was in the palace. And he's with us whatever situation, from the pit to the palace in our lives, he's with us. We need to know that. God was with Moses, Gideon, Samuel, Ruth, Daniel. I can read a whole lot of other names. But then in Isaiah, the prophet tells of someone coming that's going to be different. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Look at what it says. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So God wants to be with us so much that he's willing to send his son, who is God, to come live and be in a man, humble himself, and come and be amongst us and be with us. Matthew 1, verse 20 is the fulfillment of the prophecy. But while he thought about these things, talking about Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Jesus came to live as a man. Jesus came to show us what God is really like. But also he came to be with us. There's a great story of Jesus in the boat in Matthew 8. Let's read that. And I think this is many times a lot of the believers today live like this. Matthew 8, verse 23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Isn't that something? Jesus is asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? And so the disciples, and I don't think all of them had this revelation, but the disciples had a revelation that God was with Jesus. But they didn't have a revelation that God was with them. They didn't know the authority they had been given or had a revelation of who they were as followers of Christ. And so it had to be the one that was with God that was able to handle the situation. And I think there's a lot of people today, of course, unbelievers, those who don't follow Jesus or know about him, certainly they don't have a revelation of being with God, and so they're with themselves. That's all they have, their abilities, their knowledge, their power. And certainly it's good to know somebody that's with God. I mean, that's a good thing. If you need help. But what are you going to do in a situation where you don't have that person that's with God? And so many are that way. They just don't have that revelation. God is with me. And so Jesus begins to, you know, as he comes near the end of his life, he begins to share about God after he leaves, which they don't want to hear about that. But he begins to talk about God coming to live in his followers. And let's look at that in John 16, verse 7. And you need to know this today. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I will depart, I will send him to you. John 13 through 17, Jesus is basically teaching before the Last Supper. And so he spent a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit. And they don't have an understanding at this point. How can that be good for us that the one that has God with him is going to be leaving us? And he begins to share with them I am leaving, but this is going to be a better situation because the Holy Spirit, the helper, is going to come and be in you. After Jesus dies and is raised on the third day, he's back on the earth for a while with his disciples, teaching and training them further. Acts verse 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So there's a big shift going on here now. Big shift happening in the world on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus is talking about what's going to happen. He's saying that God is going to come. He's with you. He's going to be in you. And then in Acts 1 it says, he'll come upon you. And that is a revelation that they needed, especially since Jesus is gone. His physical presence is gone. And they're like, what are we going to do? But they needed to get a revelation that it's not, you know, it's not just God with, or we need to get this revelation. It's not just God with Matt, God with Susie, God with Nate, God with Sean. It's God with us. Remember, God with us, good. God separated from us, bad. And to begin to have that revelation, I mean, it will change you. It changed the early church. They went from this timid, fearful, hiding out group before the day of Pentecost to people turning their world upside down. He doesn't want us to be living in fear. Fear paralyzes you. He doesn't want us to be living in worry and anxiety and pressure. He wants us to be like he was on the back of the boat when the megastorm was there. He was asleep. He was resting in God. He was trusting in God. So say it, God with us.
God with us.
Or how about say this?
God with me.
God in me.
God in me.
God upon me.
God upon me.
How about we say it one more time? God in me.
God with me.
God upon me. You're doing good, class. Now, how many here today have sensed God's presence before? Should be a lot of hands. And you know, I've sensed his presence in beautiful places. I know you've probably been to some of these places. You know, some people like the mountains, some like the ocean. I remember one time Susan and I were in California and went to saw the redwood trees. Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was a spiritual experience. Just a peace, just a rest. And to me, it was just the presence of God. I had not a care. But certainly, hopefully, we sensed him during a service. Maybe during a message, maybe during the offering, maybe during worship, maybe talking to someone before or after the service. Either God, someone's ministering to you or you're ministering to them. And when you feel and sense his presence, all that he is comes flooding in. His love. His mercy, his grace, his peace. Grayson was talking about his peace. His comfort, his joy, his rest, his revelation, his strength, Now, why is this? Why is this when we're in his presence that it happens? Because we are aware that he is there, that he's real, and we are letting his influence come into our world and into our lives. Letting his goodness in. Letting his goodness manifest. But I really think that he wants his presence felt more than just every so often. More than just at church or at some beautiful place or even during a prayer time. What about his presence with you when you're driving? Oh, hello, hello. You need to get the revelation that God is with you when you're driving. God is in you. God is upon you. And he's not upon you when you're all angry and mad and stressed. That's not a revelation of his presence. We need to get a revelation when we're in a hurry at the fast food restaurant and the one that's waiting on us is messing up our order. Are you aware that God is with you? With God, good. Without God, bad. With God, good. Without God, bad. And so you're getting all mad, and they're just a person just trying to live their life. I was at the mall one time, and I was waiting in line, and I was angry at this clerk. They should not be doing that job. In my opinion, my humble opinion, they just weren't gifted at what they were doing. And so I'm getting mad, and it's just, you know, the temperature's rising as I'm getting closer to pay for my item. I'm almost just ready just to leave. And I'm going to say something smart. I'm not really that clever with these things, but I'm going to say something smart when I get up there. And then the first thing I get there, she says, "Hello, Pastor Judd." That was back in the days when we had our TV program. She had watched us on TV. Oh, suddenly I remembered, God with me, God in me, God upon me. Someone reminded me. So the next time that happened, and it was, you know, a long time later, I was at the mall, same thing happened, but I learned my lesson, God with me. And so I got up there, and I was smiling, and I was nice, and I asked the person, "How are you doing?" And in the middle of the conversation, I said, "Do you have any prayer requests?" And she teared up and began to tell me the story of why she was having a bad day. And it turned it from a potential confrontation to comfort. So it's important, you know, we need to realize God is with us. Now, this last week, I messed up. I didn't realize God was with me when I was driving one time. I won't tell you all that happened. I'll confess during a meeting this week, God, I wasn't aware God was with me. I did pretty good all through the meeting, but I didn't make it to the end. But if we have that awareness of his presence, and so I think it's more, it needs to be more than just at church or during spiritual times. And the more we can have the revelation during the day, I think the better our lives are going to be. And because he's got so many good things for us. And he wants to, and he's with us during the good and the bad. Through the trial, through the triumph. And then also, if you go longer periods being without God, and even if you're a believer, just not aware of his presence, that's going to open up more of an opportunity to sin. Not being aware, not thinking about his presence. Now, you remember in Acts 16, you remember Paul and Silas? Paul had cast the devil out of a fortune teller that was influential in the area and brought a lot of money to certain influential people. And so they had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. They had them beaten with rods first, threw them into the inner, you know, dungeon, so to speak. And so how would you be doing? That's a bad day. It's kind of an up and down day. A good thing happened, the devil's cast out, but now because of you doing something good that needed to be done, now you're beat up and in jail. How are you going to respond? And that's when you have to have a revelation of where God is. Look what it says, Acts 16, verse 25. And so they had the revelation, God with us. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And so in the midst of this horrible situation, they had a revelation, God's with me. God is in me. I don't understand everything that just happened here. But he's upon me. And so what's my response going to be? I began to praise him. He didn't put me here. He's not trying to teach me something through all this pain. But in the middle of this situation, I'm going to realize he's with me. He's not forgotten me. Hebrews says in the Amplified, I will not, I will not, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And so he's there. And so we have to be aware of his presence. And sometimes you got to just stir it up and just begin to praise him. I know it's hard. It really is. Especially if you don't feel him. Or feel like it. You ever been there? Or I don't feel his presence. Where did the presence go? It hasn't left. It's still there. But we tap into it and we begin to praise him and begin to pray. And then the power of God comes on the scene. Shakes the foundation of that prison. All the prison doors are open. But it's something else about this revelation. When you start having a revelation of God with you, God in you, God upon you, then you're going to start seeing people in a different way. You're going to start seeing people from God's perspective and not just from a natural perspective. And that's going to begin to change things. And it's going to change the way you speak and the way you act. And what you do, let's go on, guys, to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, I'm going to read this from the Message translation. I had to get God's love in here, so. But listen, look at this. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Our firm decision is to work from this focus center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone also could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. When you're with God, it's far better. Far better than you could have on your own. Far better than in your own abilities. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Isn't that amazing? When you have that revelation of God being with us, it changes the way you look at people and in situations. And instead of getting in fear, or instead of getting angry, or instead of lashing out, or instead of correcting or controlling, you start seeing them as people. Either they're people that have received his goodness, or people that are lost without him. Isn't that interesting? Without God, they're lost. And are we put here then to just further their lostness? Or were we there to be like God in the garden, pursuing the creation, pursuing people? And it's no excuse, but I missed it last week. And we're going to miss it. And there has to be room for that. And again, it's not an excuse to do so. But a place of people that God is with them ought to be a different kind of place. It ought to be a place where we can take off the mask. And if we're having a bad week or a bad day, share it. But when you got two people, God's with them and God's with me, and we have an honest, loving conversation, I'm telling you, it's going to be encouraging. And we need to remind each other, because the enemy is mean and comes at you and is trying to take your hope. And we need to remind each other, we have a hope. And we need to remind us, yeah, God loves you. God's forgiven you. God's not mad at you. He's got an amazing plan for your life. I don't understand everything that's happened right now, but we're going to get through this. You're going to make it. You're not only going to make it, you're going to overcome. You're going to fulfill that plan, whatever the enemy tries. Because, I'm just going to skip. Move on. 1 John 4:4. Put this one up here. Get this thing on here. God is with me. I'm going to be nice to you today, microphone. You're such a nice microphone. I got saved in 1982. And we talked about this verse a lot. I haven't used it in a long time. I don't know if I've quoted it or even thought about it. But to have this revelation, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you, turn to your neighbor and say, he's in you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, meaning the devil. And it's easier to remember God is with you when things are going good, but sometimes things don't always go just the way we think it should go. And that's when you need to know greater is He. And He, our Master, our Lord and Savior, defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. And now the devil is under our feet and we are in Christ and God is with us and He's given us authority. And so when He comes against you in your thought life, when He comes against you with situations, when He comes against you with even maybe other believers, that happens. That's hard. Or maybe family members. We got to realize God's got this. And you got to focus on Him and not focus on the problem. I know it's hard to do, but focus on Him. Don't focus on, well, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Now, that's a formula for a disaster. Because then you're getting into your willpower. And we don't even want to talk about that. That's what people are living on, just willpower. There's a greater power. Thank God for our will and making the right decisions, but there's a greater power. And so when you're in a situation, I remember I was in the nation of Panama on a missions trip, and I'm not always the best with directions, Susie can tell you. I'm not gifted at this point in my life with direct. Thank God for GPS. But I was going off on my own to meet somebody at the university, and I had to take a series of buses, and it was quite an interesting bus system they had. And anyway, so I think I got the first one. I know I got the first one right, but I somehow missed it, and I ended up in downtown Panama City by myself. Only Western person around. And I'm trying to communicate in my broken Spanish with people, and they're just laughing at me. That makes you feel real good. I can't, and normally when you go, and I hate to be just this way, but a lot of times you'll go places, and you'll find someone that can speak English. We're kind of arrogant in that way, Americans are. And I wasn't finding anybody, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm beginning to panic, like, because we don't have any cell phones. I don't have any phone numbers of any contacts. Duh. Stupid me. I don't even really can tell you where we're staying. I'm lost. And I'm starting to panic and starting to get fearful. And I'm just like, you know, you've been there. And I just said, hey, I just stopped for a moment and said, hey, why don't I just pray about this? And I began to pray in the Spirit, and the peace of God began to come, and I guess I became aware of His presence. And it doesn't always work this way, but it did this time, and it was amazing. I'm telling you, I'm right in the middle of this. I'm praying in the Spirit. The peace of God is coming. A taxi pulls up, and the guy in perfect English says, are you lost? And I'm trying to be all, no, I'm okay. No. yes, I am. I must have had that lost look on my face. And I told him I needed to go to so-and-so. I have no idea where I am. He said, well, I'll take you there. And we ended up having a great conversation about God, because he was asking me why I was in the country and told him about what we were doing there for ministry-wise. An amazing conversation, and got me to where I needed to go. So we have to be able to tap into His presence at other times. And the more we can do it throughout our day, with God good, without God bad, or not so good. And He's got an abundant life for us. Let's put that same scripture up in the Amplified. 1 John 4. Look at this. This is you now. Little children, you are of God. Say, I am of God. I'm his child. Little children, you are of God. You belong to him. I belong to him. And have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who's in the world. That is good stuff. And certainly I want to be aware of that and have good things for me and my family. But I want that for others too, wherever I go. And maybe everybody I meet, I can bring them a little closer to God. Some you could bring them into the throne room. Because freely you have received, freely you give. When you're in his presence, his goodness just overwhelms you, and it's just that goodness, is that compassion starts, because he's been so good to you, it just flows out to others. We were doing the outreach on Sunday, and, you know, I know it was hot, but a lot of folks, they don't like to do, like, an outreach, and we're going to be going to different people's houses, and but we've done a couple of these, and we had a few folks show up, and because it's fearful. I mean, you're going to be knocking on someone's door. I mean, we got public speaking and knocking on someone's door, either to sell them something or to do something. I mean, those are, I mean, probably up there with some big fears that people have. We're not flocking to do that. But we had our training, and then we had our prayer, and I had the same experience on the last outreach. Just a peace about it. Just enjoyed it. We had a list of new people and to the area or new to their house, and we just said, wanted to go out and say, hey, we wanted to welcome folks to the community and, you know, ask them, I know this is a stressful time, but is there anything we could pray with you about? And so we're afraid because someone, what are they going to do? They might slam their door. I mean, we had one particular folks, we could hear them inside, hey, they're from the church. Don't open the door. We had Good News Church t-shirts on. They're from the church. I mean, that makes you feel really good about churches. But we just went different places, and we had some good encounters. But what's the worst thing that could, I mean, they punch me? You ain't going to punch this. Maybe you are. What's the word? I've never had that in all the years. I mean, hundreds of people that we've encountered, never had anybody push me, punch me, cuss me out. And that just happened. They didn't come to the door. Oh, I'm going to quit. But Susan and I were talking and about it as we're getting kind of near to the end of our list, and we were just saying how much God loves people that he have us driving around on a Sunday to go welcome newcomers to Augusta. How much he loves people and cares for people and wants to touch people. Now, they may not be ready or willing to receive it, but God has those divine encounters. And so, Susan, I don't know if it was the last person on our list. We met this gentleman, and it was one of those God moments. And he was just, had been through some things, believer. And we were just there at the right moment. He invited us into his house. And we just shared about God. And then at the end, we prayed for each other. He had tears. We had tears. And it's just one of those moments. I mean, God with us, God in us, God on us. And I'm happy to say, and no pressure on this person to come back, but that gentleman today is here today, Marvin. Raise your hand, Marvin. Now, Marvin, I don't know what happened on your end, but we were blessed when we left your place. We were blessed. God touched us. And to have that revelation. So I just want to encourage you. I know we're all at different places going through a lot of things. And certainly have this revelation for ourselves and what we're going through. God with me, God in me, God upon me. And certainly for what you're going through. But I think there's another higher level that God has. And we're all maturing and growing, and we're going to miss it and make mistakes. But there's a higher level, too, that in the midst of all that, that we see people. And we want them to have that revelation. And we need to be sensitive. And there's good and bad ways to do that. But to be sensitive, how can we get that love that we're feeling, his presence, over to them? And God's going to help you with that. But praise God. You can stand. Hallelujah. You know, I can't assume that everybody here has God with them. And so we want to pray that together today, and maybe someone watching by live streaming. It's amazing who watches. Other countries, other cities, other states, other places. And we don't know how they may just come across things. But let's just trust him today. And there's a simple prayer. Romans talks about believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing him as your Lord. And it talks about being saved and God coming into your life and God being with you. God being in you. And for me, in 1982, it started with a simple prayer that we're about to pray right now. And you can have that. And I'm not going to promise you everything's going to be perfect overnight, and well, it never is. But I'm telling you, with God, good. Without God, bad. Without God, lost. So let's just all pray this together and pray with us, those watching by live streaming. But everybody, whether you prayed this before or not, let's just all pray this together. Say, Father in heaven, I come to your throne today to receive your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for pursuing me when I didn't deserve it. I receive today forgiveness for my sins, healing in my heart. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. I believe in the resurrection. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your life. I receive your peace. And now, Father, show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you prayed that, or maybe you need to sometimes just to reconfess that, but to know he is with you, he is in you, he is on you, and he's on you to do great things for the kingdom. And so if those watching, if you first time you prayed that, let us know online. You're here today. We'll have prayer partners here, but you can talk to myself or Pastor Nate or Pastor Susie or others. There's a whole lot of people here you can talk with. But we'll help you about like what's next. But I just want to encourage you this week. Let's say it again. God with me. God in me. God upon me. Let's say it again. God with me.
God with me.
God in me.
God
upon me. And now you could put Jesus' name in there. You can put the Holy Spirit's name in there. And this week, let's on purpose bring in his presence into other situations.